Ministries Television Studios. Today on The Difference, we welcome internationally known psychologist, humorist, and award-winning New York best-selling author, Dr. Kevin Lehman.
You don't accept excuses from your kid or your employee. Excuses make the weak weaker. Well, we lay praise on kids. A kid will do a number on you. They'll say, I'm no good.
Yeah.
You know, they'll put themselves down. And most parents are suckers because they'll say, now, honey, why do you say that? You know that isn't true. Don't go there.
Tantrums, meltdowns, slamming doors. When it comes to kids, toddlers, and teens, does any of this sound familiar?
Yes, joining us today on The Difference with his signature wit and wisdom is New York Times best-selling author, Dr. Kevin Lehman. And we're going to be discussing why kids misbehave and what to do about it. Welcome to The Difference.
Joining us today is again our dear friend Kevin Lehman. For those of you who are getting to know him, take a look at our last conversation.
I always say, don't try this at home. I say, try this at home. Find your pretty wife. That shouldn't be hard to do. Go to the kitchen. I would just, to put it bluntly, I'd start making out with Kendall. Okay?
This is a recommendation for me.
Yes.
Okay.
That's easy to do. Just hug and kiss that woman and watch what happens. Within seconds, and I don't know who tells the kids, mom and dad are on the make in the kitchen, but one of them will come right up like a little torpedo, come right up between mom and dad. Why do they do that? Because they're the enemy, that's why. No. They do that because they want to be part of that union.
You know, why do your kids misbehave? And you know, the last time we had this conversation, that was 2019. We've all experienced a lot between then and now. COVID hit, and you actually released this book during that period of time. But the truth that you were sharing with me then, it was an experiment we put to practice, and it was like a magnet. I mean,
kids
here came my six-year-old, you know, and not only did she want to interrupt the kiss, but she wanted to go tell her siblings, hey, they're in here kissing.
Yes.
You know, so why do kids do that?
I think of how I started that book. You know, you write a book, it's like a year and a half before it comes out, so I'm talking ancient history now, but I start that book off that we went to a steakhouse, Texas Roadhouse, and we were sitting there, and this couple came in with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and auntie and the little 13-month-old girl. And she did not like that little wooden
high chair
thing. And she started to fuss. And, of course, they plucked her out. And I said to myself, this is going to be good. And Matt and Kendall, I'll tell you, I knew everything that was going to happen, and it played out beautifully. Because this little 13-month-old, she wailed enough that somebody came and bailed her out and put her on someone's lap, and that child hit at least five laps, you know, during their dinner. I bit my tongue. My wife gave me the, leave me, don't you say a word.
Don't go to work.
I was so tempted to say something because, as I pointed out, having a puppy and having a child, there are a lot of similarities, and training a child to stay in a high chair, I think is important.
Think kids misbehave? Well, I mean, I guess you could think of, you know, it starts with at the beginning.
They want your attention on something, and I think they're needing that, and that's their way of trying to get your attention on them.
Yeah, that's it. Kids misbehave because they want attention. I don't think that, you know, they misbehave because they're just evil kids. I think evil kids are raised.
Because there's a sin nature that is in all of us. And that's something that we as parents have an opportunity to train them and love them through.
I think children misbehave also because they're trying to learn how to deal with their feelings and their emotions. And we might think it's misbehaving, but a lot of it is them just trying to figure out things that are new.
Okay, so what is it? Is it Adam? Is it attitude? Is it agitation? Pick your A.
Well, let's just cut to the chase. Kids, to answer the question, why do kids misbehave? For three basic reasons. Every kid's an attention getter. They start out that way. The question is, are they getting positive attention or negative attention? As they move from positive to negative attention, your kid's getting discouraged about life. The next level of misbehavior is powerful behavior. okay? They're power driven. And their mantra in life is, I only count in life when I win, when I dominate, when I control. Now, the attention getter above them says, I only count in life when I
get attention,
when I put other people in my service, okay? And then that next level, it's real simple to follow this, by your feelings as a parent. If you feel annoyed by your child's behavior, he or she's an attention getter. If you feel provoked by what they're doing, you want to rub their little nose in the kind of thing, you got a powerful kid. Mm-hmm. But the next one is the one that's really troublesome, and that's the revengeful kid who sees himself as, I've been hurt by life, therefore I have a right to strike out at other people. Mm. Wow. So that kid's intention is to hurt other people. And people need to understand that you as a parent and your stance of being an authority or being an authoritarian or being permissive. Oh, Dr. Lehman, we really believe every child should be a winner. So we've enrolled Melissa in non-competitive soccer. Everybody gets a trophy. I mean, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have 11th place ribbons these days.
Yeah.
There isn't an 11th place.
It's crazy. Everybody wins. Again, I like to use the term psychological muscles, and I think you give your kids psychological muscles as they face things that you hold them accountable for in life. You don't accept excuses from your kid or your employee. Excuses make the weak weaker.
Get them involved in the conversation so they can explain themselves and feel the pressure of having to do so.
Right.
You know, when we come back, we're going to be discussing how you can take some of the behaviors that you see in your children, turn them to a positive, and enable the energy to increase towards the goal that you want to see, a happy, healthy, and content child. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back in just a few moments.
You're watching The Difference. Stay tuned for more.
When a kid throws a temper tantrum, a three-year-old, four-year-old in a mall, especially in a public place, my advice, step over the child. There's a great temptation to step on that little ankle biter. Don't do that. That's illegal and very bad.
Some days it can be difficult to see God moving through the chaos.
As children of the King of Kings, you need to let go of the things of this world that entrap you and leave you wanting for more. Trust your Heavenly Father so that you might receive the blessings that He has in store for you.
When you support Hagee Ministries with your gift of any amount, you will receive the Abundant Life Devotional by Pastor Hagee. For your gift of $150 or more, we'll also send you a beautifully framed home blessing written in Hebrew and made in Israel by a family of immigrants.
When you make God your daily focus, you'll find His blessings flooding through your life and into the lives of those around you. Experience His favor today and every day.
Send your gift today. Call the number on the screen or visit jhm.org/blessings.
Welcome back to The Difference. We're talking parenthood with Dr. Kevin Lehman. We want you to take a look at some of these clips of what parents think is appropriate.
Josh, all I was asking you to do was pick up those three parts.
Alex, you are grounded for the rest of the season.
No!
Also,
no!
Then
no!
Get off.
Well, then take me off!
No!
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 I don't want to go!
It doesn't matter!
No, yes, it does! No, no!
Stop it!
Take me off!
I don't want to go to school!
You can put your clothes on or I can take you up there in your skivvies.
I'm not going to school!
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not!
Sometimes,
I'm laughing, but I'm like, oh my goodness, what do you do?
Okay, we have a psychological diagnosis here. You know, we use it to get people paid by their insurance carrier. It's called defiant disorder. We've invented disorders for kids like that you just saw. These are kids who didn't have parents, who set limits, who had a definite no. Their no was no, their yes was yes. There was direction and firmness. That's what you get. When a kid throws a temper tantrum, a three-year-old, four-year-old in a mall, especially in a public place, my advice, step over the child. There's a great temptation to step on that little ankle biter. Don't do that. That's illegal and very bad. But walk over them.
Ignore them.
and watch what happens.
Do you just keep on going and don't turn back?
Yeah, they're not going to make a fool of themselves in front of strangers. That's called purposive behavior. So your kid's bad behavior, why kids misbehave, is purposeful. It serves, it's a psychological term. We haven't used that word purposive probably this week, this month, this year. Not a very common term. But it means that the behavior serves the child. Mm-hmm. I only count on life when I get attention, when I'm in control, when I dominate, when I get back at whatever. And we literally reinforce that and teach that to the children by not stepping over the child.
So you teach and train correction without criticizing them into correction.
Right.
Because I think sometimes as parents, it's difficult to always feel like you're critiquing.
Yeah, it's not you're a bad kid. It's what you did, I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like we're splitting hairs, but there is a difference in how kids receive it. Yeah. And so you want to use vitamin E, which is encouragement. Let me give you an example in the real world. Grades come home, and your kid gets, let's say, 5 A's. Oh, wow. What do traditional parents say when those five A's? I am so proud of you. Oh, I am calling your grandmother right now. Oh, your Aunt Martha is going to be so excited. Oh, I am so proud. You are the best boy in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Here's $20. Now, that's not only reward, but it's praise. I hold you in high esteem because.
You got an A.
Now, let me give you encouragement. Now, vitamin E, I call it. Very different. Wow. 5 A's. Honey, it looks like all that hard work you poured in there this semester really paid off. Congratulations. Fist bump. And you just saved yourself a $20 bill.
Times four.
Well, and you saved yourself a meltdown when there's 4 A's and 1 B.
It's the same thing.
You know, I mean, because I've seen kids that whenever they have the slightest challenge, And it's not that, you know, an 89 or an 82 or a 79 is a measure of your quality as a human being. But whenever they've received so much praise for A's, anything less is unacceptable for them, you know.
And that's why I say praise God. All others pay cash because when we lay praise on kids, a kid will do a number on you. They'll say, I'm no good.
Yeah.
You know, they'll put themselves down. And most parents are suckers because they'll say, now, honey, why do you say that? You know that isn't true. Don't go there. Let me give you a little different angle on that. Wow, honey, I'm sorry you see yourself that way. I got to tell you the truth. I don't see yourself that way. But if that's how you see yourself, I guess that's how you see yourself. In other words, don't get suckered into playing that game that they
self-pity.
Put themselves down and then you come around and coddle. Because all you're doing is you're teaching your kid to have self-pity.
Yeah.
So you got to understand this. This is not rocket science. Principle, B doesn't start till A gets completed. So whatever job is to be done in the house, I don't care what it is.
Hey.
You know.
He's preaching.
Yeah. whatever it is, I mean, honey, I'd love to drive you over there, but I see that garage is still looking the way it did.
I break out my lap organ here
you know,
and play
all.
The altar call.
Yeah. Yeah. Every head bowed. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
I see
y'all
that.
Come.
I
the,
see that.
The buses will wait. The buses will wait.
There's literature. and the literature is
the
actually.
The literature will wait. We
so
will
what
wait.
If you have a screaming teenager and it's just like, oh, and she's slamming her door and disrespecting you? You know, you sometimes, as a parent, you want to lose your, I'm going to yell right back at you.
That's not her door. That's my door.
You have to remain calm in the face of the storm. They'll tell you they hate you. They'll tell you a lot of different things. But when they slam the door, my favorite is say, oh, honey, excuse me, what's that slam door mean? Does that mean you're sick of living in this four-bedroom home with premium Wi-Fi? Just checking. because they're kids. They're going to, during the teenage years, they're dumb as mud.
My 14-year-old boy, his mother will ask him a question, why did you do this? And maybe
I know, you're not supposed to use the three-letter word, why.
But, you know,
why?
There's a soaking wet bath towel under his bed. And the only way you found it is because of the fumes that it's been putting off after 5 days of being lost.
I like it.
Now, for 4 days, you said, where's your bath towel? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then you find it under his bed, and you get the same answer. How did it get under your bed?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know means I don't want to tell you, okay? That's what you got to understand about kids. They do stupid, dumb things. But I'm glad you brought that up. Here's just a gentle reminder for parents. Kids and husbands have a lot in common. Ladies, pay attention now. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I near I'm old and near death, but listen to me on this one. This one is so good. Husbands and kids hate your questions.
Oh.
We hate questions. So if you want your husband to talk to you, say, honey, what's your opinion about this? You want your 16-year-old son to talk to you? Say, honey, can I ask your opinion about something? They'll talk your ear off, okay?
Now, Dr. Kevin, how long do you have to live before you can speak with such boldness?
Takes a while. Yeah.
Dr. Lehman's conversation is always a gift to Kendall and I, but we want you to join us for the end of this conversation when we come back.
And there's still more when we come back on The Difference.
Ask any kid, how many times do mom or dad have to call you to get you to do something? And the magic number is 3.
But how come they can't respond on number 1?
See the Bible come to life by standing in the very places where the stories of the Holy Scriptures unfolded. Join Pastors John and Matt Hagee on this extraordinary tour of the Holy Land. Visit historical sites such as the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, float upon the waters of the Dead Sea, and pray at the Western Wall. Join us November 6th through the 16th, 2023. For more information, call the number on screen or go to jhm.org.
So my biggest takeaway from tonight was be the person you want your children to be.
Forgot.
Don't major in the minors, the little things.
I was thinking about kids. I was like, I'm going to be so, you know, don't do this, don't do that. But yeah, just chill, you know.
Kids are sponges. And yeah. So they're going to watch what you do. And so the best thing for me as a father is to be the man for my son, what I want him to be.
And so we got authoritarianism over here. We got permissiveness over here. Brittany, sweetheart, it's 8 o'clock. Have you chosen to go to bed yet? Hey, would you kids turn that music down? I'm trying to finish your homework. I'm just telling you, parents today are clueless. They're rudderless on the sea of life. You need to have direction. So we worship a God of authority, not an authoritarian. And that's how we need to be in our home, Matt, is we need to be an authority. Well, translate it for us. That means you don't take any doo-doo from your kids, ever. You stand on authority. Your kids need to learn respect, and respect is a two-way street, so you got to listen to your kids. You're not just telling them what to do. And you got to treat them different. Why? Because they're all different. But one of my tips in here to parents, and it reflects about what Pastor Matt just said, a tip is, hey, parent, you be the person you want your son or daughter to be. I want you to think of that's almost profound. In other words, we worry about our kids. Oh, hey, what kind of a person are you? See, your kids are always looking up, and they're taking emotional notes, spiritual notes on how you live your life. You just got to understand that. They're always watching. I mean, kids have a way of playing us like violins because we refuse to make our house our house. On the sea of life, there's a sea of life. You're the captain of the good ship, your family. My question is, what's your port of call? Do you know where you're going? I think you're alluding to the fact that families today, they're like balsa wood on the ocean. Whatever way it's thrown, and like you say, we use excuses, so other people do this and that. And yeah. You know, life's too short, folks, not to have the marriage and want and need, not to have the relationship with your kids. Don't major in the minors. Learn to love your kids. You know, when they get to be 12, 13, 14, I call it the hormone group. They get weird. But when they slam the door, for example, in your home, what do most of you say? Hey, don't be slamming the door in this house, young lady. You know, blah, blah. No. How about this? Excuse me, honey. I'm not sure what that slam door meant. Does that mean you're sick of living in this four-bedroom home with premium Wi-Fi?
Who put it on your face?
Daddy.
Daddy put it on your face?
Yeah, Daddy.
I think it was you.
No, Daddy.
Noel, who drew on Mommy's mirror?
I don't know.
Was it you?
No.
Who was it?
A Spotman. After how good of a room,
Daddy has his toys, and then Daddy has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Okay, Linda, listen.
So, who's training who there?
Yeah, it's amazing. Linda. You know, the kids are so smart. They figure us out early. They play us like a violin. The book, Why Kids Misbehave and What to Do About It, I tell parents, you know, it's hard to figure out, you know, which one's the monkey and which one's the organ grinder here. Who's teaching who? And we literally teach kids to be non-responsible, not to listen, ask any parent.
Yeah.
Or better yet, ask any kid, how many times do mom or dad have to call you to get you to do something? And the magic number is three.
Three.
And the kids will tell you straight
out. I'm holding the number up over here.
Yeah. How come they can't respond on number one?
Well, because we've trained them to respond to three. Because the first time it's a general alert.
I have a Labrador hunting dog.
Yeah.
And this dog is highly trained. It's a wonderful companion dog. But when it's time to go to work, I put a little collar around its neck.
Oh, yeah.
And the second that there is an ounce of unresponsiveness, you hit that collar, and then the dog is reminded to respond. The challenge is I don't have a collar for my 14-year-old. So what do you got to do?
See, then you talk about authoritarian and authority.
And for those of you who are writing me letters about shocking my kids.
No, for those of you who have kids that go to public school or take a bus, and the morning in your home is a zoo, because you got to get out the door to work, your husband's already gone, And you're the alarm clock for your 14-year-old. Let's start with that, which is a mistake.
Yeah.
Because there are alarm clocks you can buy. And so you go in there and you tell him it's time to get up. He doesn't get up. You're back there again. You give him the time. It is now 7:18. You need to get out of bed, young man. You're going to miss the bus. And all that kind of stuff. That can come to an abrupt stop on a Monday morning when you choose as a parent to no longer wake up your child. So what I'm saying is you blindside that sucker. You let him wake up at 10:30 in the morning and realize he missed his geometry test. And he's going to tell you it is your fault. And now you're going to say some words he's going to really pay attention to. You say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm no longer your alarm clock. From now on, you get your tail out of bed. And you, when you're ready, I'll drive you down to school. Okay, but here's the smart parent. You call school. You say, my son's 3 hours late. You're talking to the assistant principal. Would you do me a huge favor? Sure. Would you call my son in and tell him about the importance of being on time? So now the kid finally gets to school. He's missed his exam. He's a little flustered. And over the loudspeaker in his classroom, well, Timothy Jones, please come to the office. And he's thinking, what do they want me for?
Yeah, what did I do?
And you walk in there, and the vice principal says, you, Jones, come on in here. Have a seat. Hey, what time does school start, young man? 8:35. What time are you here this morning? 10:50. What time are you going to be here tomorrow? 8:35, sir. I mean, it's great to have somebody else collar your kid.
Well, and I think that so many times people let it go and they let it go and they let it go and they let it go until there's so much to deal with, they feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start. So for the individuals who are watching and they think that it's way past fixing, what do you recommend for them?
Number one, an apology. I think you go to your kid and you say, you know, I want just 5 minutes of your time. What do you want to talk about? I just need 5 minutes. That's all I need. I know you're a busy guy. You're a busy woman. I just need 5 minutes. I owe you an apology. For what? Well, I've been looking at my own life. I see some things that I'm very unhappy about. And I think they've affected how you behave. And I just want to give you a heads up that starting right now, you're going to see a different mom, a different dad.
That's good.
And then have the commitment. When they ask for something, give them vitamin N. Let them figure out why you said, no, you can't go here. And then finally, give them an answer. I've got to tell you the truth. I'm sick of your mouth. I'm really sick of it. I think I've encouraged it. I've allowed it. And again, I'm just putting it on notice. Your life's going to be very mundane and very boring if things don't change. I can't make you change. I'm not here to try to make you change. I'm just telling you, I'm making changes that's going to affect your life, the quality of your life, the time you spend with your buddies, the money you have in the pocket, the freedom that you have. And what I'm telling the parents, you got all the gold in your back pocket. So who are you kidding? Your kid would have underwear on right now, parent, if you didn't buy it for him. Mm-hmm. So take your authority, take your firmness, and point him in a different direction, but with an apology. It's a sincere apology. You know, I think I've let these other things become more important than you, and nobody is more important than you. So it has to come across, because they don't care what you know until they know you care. That comes right out of my little business book called The Way of the Shepherd, which is a 5-star rated book on managing people. They don't care what you know until they know you care. I try to tell you in as nice a way as I can, you're dumb as mud, parent. And you have to start changing your behavior to have a kid change his behavior.
Well, the good news is most mud can be made into clay, and clay is moldable.
There you go.
That's it. You know, Kendall and I want to thank you guys for joining us today on The Difference. We pray that you were encouraged by what our guest had to share and to say. We also want to share with you something that's dear and dear to our heart. It's the Sanctuary of Hope. You can find out more information about that at sohcares.org.
The life of a child is precious in God's eyes, and the gift of life is something you can become a part of today. The Sanctuary of Hope is a one-of-a-kind safe haven that provides a loving, safe environment where both baby and mother can receive the education, care, and hope they desperately need. Your monthly gift will provide the opportunity to change the life of a child and mother by becoming a legacy partner today. When you partner with us, our legacy becomes your legacy. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner.
See the Bible come to life by standing in the very places where the stories of the Holy Scriptures unfolded. Join Pastors John and Matt Hagee on this extraordinary tour of the Holy Land. Visit historical sites such as the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, float upon the waters of the Dead Sea, and pray at the Western Wall. Join us November 6th through the 16th, 2023. For more information, call the number on screen or go to jhm.org.
We want to thank Dr. Lehman for coming by, for sharing his wit, his wisdom, and advice on parenting that creates a win-win for both you and your child. We'd also like to thank you, each and every one of our viewers, for watching, and we invite you to follow us on social media. Let's stay connected as we continue to make a difference in everyday life. We'll see you soon.